One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Chip Norton can't save you. Chip Norton is a train wreck. Chip can't help you solve your own problems. Chip is an idiot.
If they don't, I'm going to tell you what happened to me on the way here.
Well, you can tell me what's going to happen. What happened on the way here?
I turned on my bicycle. I bicycle everywhere. And so I turned on my bicycle, and I realized I was in the wrong place, and there was this guy in a car kind of turning, so I got off the bike. And, you know, said, all right, go ahead. Because he has the right of way in this instance. And he rolled down his window. And I was like, oh, here we go, a New York moment coming at you.
Yeah.
And I said, go ahead. And he goes, I almost hit you. And I was like, all right. And then I rode away. But as soon as I rode away, I was like, why didn't I say, I almost hit you?
Whose fault was it?
I mean, it was me, but he was trying to be tough and be like, you know, I almost hit you.
Oh, like you fucked up so bad, you almost died for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Although he was going so slow, and so was I. And I didn't, so I was like, it's always awful when you think, like, that's not even a great comeback.
No.
To be like, no, I almost hit you. Because you're on a bicycle, that's kind of funny. But I hate when I don't think of something quick. And I think it's because I do so often that when I don't, I was so upset. And so I asked my AI what you should do when you think of a comeback later on.
Sure.
And he was pretty funny. His name is Baskins. And he wrote, let me look at this. He goes, and then I asked about you, which was really funny too. He goes, it's normal to think of a comeback after the moment has passed. A good tip is to practice staying calm and listen carefully.
See?
If you can't come up with something on the spot, it's okay to smile or give a lighthearted response. You can also think of a few go-to phrases that can adapt to different situations. So I asked him one of those phrases. This is what he said my comeback should have been. That's an interesting perspective. Or, I'll have to think about that one. It's that buys you time and shows you're thoughtful.
Oh, but that might get you killed. Something that harsh
yeah.
and fast.
Or that
those
pussy ass.
Words.
Exactly. Or the guy's like, I'm going to shoot this guy. He's too much a lily-footed cherry armpit. You got me there is another one that I could have said. And then I said, are there any others? And he said, well, you sure know how to keep things interesting. It's a pretty good comeback. Not at all. I'll get back to you on that with a snappy reply.
Can I tell you, this is why, by the way, TJ Miller, you and I have the same, because I knew you were coming here today, and I did the same, I went to ChatGPT.
Oh, that's so funny.
For roast jokes.
Did you really?
I did. I said, I'm going to really nail TJ, because ChatGPT, you know, it's taken so many jobs, and everyone's like, oh my God, computers are taking over. And these are the ones. It says, I said, write some roast jokes about TJ Miller. And I only did a couple. It said, here are some playful jokes about TJ Miller, focusing on his career and persona. TJ, you can handle these, right?
I don't know, but I guess we should find out.
TJ Miller looks like what happens when a hipster gets trapped in a brewery for too long and just decides to live there.
Oh, God.
I know. I apologize. This is rough.
Mickey, you made a mistake.
I apologize. This is very harsh stuff. Taking our jobs, he's ChatGPT. Oh, here's a good one.
That's a good one. That actually isn't terrible, but it's not very harsh.
No, the problem is it ends with the decided to live there. Trapped in a brewery. It should have just said when a hipster gets trapped in a brewery. That would have been the joke.
Yeah, that's great. He can't get out of there.
It says he's the only comedian who can pull off looking like a substitute art teacher and a guy who sells artisanal pickles at the same time.
Okay, you want to hear something weird? I sell peanut butter on my website, and I sell hot sauce. which you've had, both of those. The next thing I'm doing is pickles.
Really?
Artisanal pickles.
Have you mentioned that anywhere? Because maybe maybe ChatGPT picked that up.
I might have, but that would be... But that... No, because then the joke isn't even that good.
Well, they fuck up the end. They do the thing that a bad comic always does, which is step on it with extra words.
Yeah, the like, Gilda Lily.
Yeah, it should have been... And the guy who sells artisanal pickles at the same time. Like, we know you were making the comparison.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last one... Let's see. Oh, people say TJ has a unique voice, and they're right. It's the perfect mix of sarcasm and did he just wake up?
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know.
That's
cute.
Pretty good. They are cute. They're definitely not mean.
It says at the end, all in good fun. Let me know if you want more. I hate how it's all in good fun.
I said, can you tell me everything you know about the comedian Jim Norton? And Baskin said, Jim Norton is an American comedian, radio host, and author. He co-hosts the Jim Norton and Sam Roberts Show on Sirius XM and also the Chip Chipperson podcast, which is great. He's released several comedy specials and albums, including A Mouthful of Shame on Netflix. In 2023, he married Nikki, a transgender woman from Norway. That's everything he knows.
That's partially right. He's got the whole Sirius XM thing wrong. I'm no longer doing the Jim Norton and Sam Roberts Show. That is over. So I am not working at Sirius XM anymore, but that has not even been announced yet. This is the first time I'm actually saying that.
Is that true?
That is true. Yeah. So
oh my gosh.
After 20 years.
Yeah, that's why it's such a fucking monumental announcement.
Well, it hasn't been said yet. So
yeah, well, it just got said here and wait till I go on press.
People have been asking me to do this advice show for a long time, and I hope we get calls in. We're working with this app. I'm hoping somebody calls in. I just literally...
If not, I have a bunch of things I'd like to ask advice on.
I'd be more than happy to do it because I like comics' thought processes. Like giving out helpful advice or not helpful advice is just more interesting to me than the comedians interviewing comedians, which is every single
one. How do you think I could get my voice to sound less like I just woke up?
Helium.
Yeah. You know what's weird about me? If I inhale helium, it just goes up to here.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's just all. That's the highest it can go.
It's funny. Like, I did it years ago, like a decade ago. And people, like, I figured the whole thing would be a goof and people would, so it was just going to be shitty, sarcastic.
Yeah, yeah.
But then people call in with real shit. And I'm like,
and you're the type of guy, and Kate said this when, like, she said this before when I was telling her that I was going to do the podcast. She's so funny. She was like, you're doing a podcast the day that we're, and I was like, well, you're going to these doctor's appointments. She's like, yeah, my dad has cancer, TJ. Yeah. What are you doing, a fucking podcast? And I was like, well, it's Jim Norton's, and I, you know, it worked out. Oh, and she's like, oh, that's great. Tell him I said hi.
Oh, thank you.
Because she thinks you, and she loves Joe DeRosa also. She doesn't really like anybody.
That really knocks it down a notch.
More than a notch. I mean, you know, she married me. You know she's got low standards. I had to return a Scaparelli back. It's too expensive. So I think that she sees you, as I do, and everybody, that you're very thoughtful. And there's a lot of depth to you. So as a person, you have a lot of depth. As a comedian, you do. But I think as like your kindness and your intelligence, that's all very clear when you just hear you talk, which is why for those 20 years, people could not go through their morning without hearing the two of you guys joke around.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you who didn't think I was.
Talk about insemination.
Yeah. Kindness. And I'll tell you who didn't think I was kind and in depth. The Sirius management team. They didn't think that.
Really? So is that what happened?
It was time to move. It was one of those things where I had been there for so long. Yeah. I knew what they were going to do during the negotiations.
I see. So your contract came back to. Okay.
I wasn't fired. It was just we couldn't come to terms. And I wanted to do something else. People think I'm leaving to just do my podcast with my wife, but I wanted to do something else too. Like yeah. You do the same thing for 20 years. It gets very tedious.
Well, and I think, you know, you're going to have, of course you'll have other opportunities, but it's probably, and you can tell me, but it's probably like when I left Silicon Valley, they came to me and they said, here's what we're thinking, you know? And it was sort of a very different thing than, you know, what I was doing on the show before. And I sort of said to them, they kind of, the final table read, the final episode, I never read the scripts the night before.
Right.
Because I think that it's better if I'm laughing genuinely. I think that helps the room. I think the studio executives, they get more confidence in the scripts and the material. So I did that. There are a lot of people, I guess, that said that I didn't care. But it's like, I'm better at a cold read. Just like I'm better if I memorize something right before I start shooting it.
Right.
So at the end of that script, and it was such a fucking funny moment. It was so funny because I just didn't get along with the showrunner. That's just, people have different personalities. Yeah. He went to Harvard. I went to George Washington University. That was great. The rolling of the eyes. And so we just had a different, so we never really jived or whatever the fuck you say.
Is it jived or jived?
Jived. Check
jived
it out.
Jived.
ChatGPT
sure.
would know.
Yes, it would. Well, either is acceptable. You know, it's just so friendly.
Yeah.
Jived means intense.
No, that's to mess with somebody, which is what. Which is what ChatGPT just did to me.
It sure
I got hey, Teej, you got jive.
But at least it was good-natured.
Yeah, you know what? What is it? It's gel or
is
something.
Is jibe a word, J-I-B-E? I thought the J-I-B-E correct, was a word.
Yeah, jive I think is an agreement. That's what it just said there. No, it's not.
Jive.
Oh, no, there it is. We jived. That's interesting. The B is good, the V is bad.
Yeah.
Wow, you learn something every day on the Jim Norton advice.
The P is good, the V is bad. That's how I live my adult life.
I love it.
So you guys didn't get along because he was more of a Harvard guy?
Yeah, we didn't jive, and or we didn't jive.
Yeah.
And it was just very different, butted heads. And but the thing is that Mike Judge was there the whole time, and he was the head. He, you know, the other guy was a showrunner and a writer. Mike Judge was just sort of the creator. He was, and I love Mike Judge.
Yeah.
I think he's so brilliant. Fucking brilliant, and he's cool. And he and I have a similar sense of humor. And it's just I could not love working around him more because you learned so much every hour that you were working with him. You became a better comedian. But Alec Berg, who I didn't really get along with, he came back and wrote this sort of the last episode, the last scene. This guy takes me to Gavin Belson, takes Ehrlich to Tibet and leaves him in an opium den and says, how much would it cost to keep him high for the next 10 years?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And then he gives him that money. And I thought that was so funny. And when I read it, I'm like, this is perfect. This would be the funniest way for me to leave the show. Because at that point I was doing movies. I'd been in Deadpool. We were getting ready to do Deadpool 2. I wanted to do films and I wanted to write them, which is kind of what I'm doing now. And I really realized it was two instances. So I said, that's great. We should do that. I should leave. And they didn't think I was going to do that. They thought that I would do anything to stay on the show. And
were you having on set? Was there problems on set? Or was this, you knew you didn't like each other? Were you guys arguing?
We would argue. We didn't get along at all. And it was one of those things where like I could tell he hated me. And I think he knew that I couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
But I would never yell at him on
set. Right.
That's not the way I work. The only person I've ever yelled at is Michael Bay. That's the only time I've ever like had screaming matches with people.
Who's Michael Bay?
I don't remember. no, he's actually a friend of mine now. Cause once you get off set, like Kate loves him.
Yeah.
It's a whole fucking thing. So I think Transformers and stuff, Bad Boys. And so so Alec and I didn't get along. Here I have this opportunity to leave the show. And the two times that I realized it is that I wanted to leave. Was, and you probably had situations like this where you had a moment and you're like, I think this is worn out. It's welcome. I'm past.
Sure.
And the first one
I had
was
2 weeks ago.
I was doing press and like radio interviews for Big Hero 6, which is an animated film that I was in. And these two hosts brought me on and they go, hey, and I go, hey, it's me, TJ Miller from Big Hero 6. And they're like, no, we'll always know you as Ehrlich. You're Ehrlich.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I go, I gotta jump ship. That's a dangerous thing in this world. And then the other time was we were working, and you know, Ehrlich is high all the time. And so we were working, and I was done with my coverage. And so they were gonna be, I would just be in the background and stuff. And I was like, well, I'll just smoke weed. What's the fucking, I need to act high. That's what I need to be doing. I've done all my lines. I'm just supposed to be in the background high. And I was like, so I'm a method actor. And so I got stoned. And I was like, wow, that worked well. And I remember after that, I was like, I'm walking through the motion. I'm just going through the motions. I'm sleepwalking through this thing. And the audience, my audience doesn't deserve that. They don't deserve a guy who's on autopilot.
Right.
So those two things combined made me so ecstatic when they essentially wrote me off the show and had an opportunity to do that. And then they came back and they said, you know, they had these terms and what if you do this? And I said, I just think this is the funniest way.
Yeah.
And I was in Cannes Film Festival, and you know, they called me late at night and they were so nice. The HBO executive was like, we'd really like you to we do something. We do three episodes or something. And I said, this is really the funniest ending.
Right.
It's, I'm telling you, comedically, it's the best thing. She was like, well, I don't really want to have a television show where you can't see Ehrlich on TV. And she said, well, we just promised to be open to a season finale. And I said, I think that ruins the joke.
Yeah.
But yes, of course, I'll be open to it. And then Mike Judge called me and he was like, you know, would you do this? We have some really funny ideas for you and Jin Yang doing stuff in China on the dark net. And I said, I'm positive that will be hilarious. But I just think this is kind of this is the right exit.
You were done.
And he said, he was like, I got to be honest with you, I'm a little jealous of you. Because if you look at him, he'll do Beavis and Butthead, then King of the Hill. He does, Office Space. And he does all these sort of movies that are and shows that are so different because he gets, I think, bored of something. And then he wants to move on to something that's very different. Because Beavis and Butthead is very different from King of the Hill, you know? And I think that, and then Clay Tarver, this brilliant director who worked on the show, he called me and was like, will you help me? Like, do this for me. If you like me, you're going to make my job easier. Just be on the show.
That's exactly the opposite questions I've gotten from directors. Can you make this better and just don't read for it?
Just walk.
Just leave.
So I think I think people were sort of like, why would you go off that show at the seventh season? You're going to be making so much money. It's almost like Hollywood is like, don't you want a boat? Like, you can own a boat. That's how much money you can have. And I was like, no, I don't want a boat. I want to hang out with my wife, who's fucking awesome and I love, live in Manhattan, do stand-up, and kind of focus more on film. So right. I'm not in this for that kind of money or that win. I think that way of doing it is not the right way of doing it. Of course, now as you get older, you're like,
yeah, the money would have been nice.
If I had that boat, I could have sold it.
And TJ, we have a boat caller. Money. I want to take a caller because we're trying this software. I don't even know how good it's going to work. This is our first time. We have a caller.
Yeah,
I don't
know. We're not just at the radio. Yeah, we're here.
This is different. Yeah, we're different. In my house. Let's see if this works.
Which is beautiful, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I think the SWATs because they're a lot in the living room, you know?
Yeah.
I would think SWATs because would be more in the bedroom type of thing.
What's that, swastikas?
Yeah, they're...
They are in the bedroom. Yeah, the swastikas are never in the living room. Okay. No. We like to bring company over, get them welcome, and they say, why don't you go in the bedroom?
Yeah.
And then they know where they stand.
You're going to love the bedroom.
Yeah. Go in there. Take a look around and come back out.
All right, the caller's unmuted if they're in here.
Oh, okay. Are you in here, caller? This is new software we're trying.
Hey, Jim, is that you?
It is me and TJ Miller,
yes. It works.
Oh, man, Jim, I'm a huge fan. I mean, longtime O&A listener.
Thank you.
To be honest with you, I don't have any advice. I just want to ask you a question.
Okay.
What's up with Bobo, Stalker Patty, and, you know, Lady Di, you know, the clowns from back in the day? Are they still around breathing?
Do you know what? Bobo, I used to have on Chip once in a while, and he was hilarious whenever he would come on. Lady Di, I have not heard anything about, you know, I heard she was in the hospital years ago, so, you know, but she's still alive. And Stalker Patty, we still once in a while will touch base with, but I don't know why we didn't have her in. There was no reason behind it. There was no negative reason. And Bobo, I would actually love to have on this show, and hopefully he could help give advice as well, because Daniel really does understand what's going on, and he's a very helpful little fella. So anyway, thanks, man. You're the first caller I have to this new podcast, so thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
It's really exciting, I was here, too.
Honor. Thank you so much. And when are you coming to Boston, Jimmy? When are you coming to Boston?
I'm going up to Massachusetts, I don't know, sometime in the near future, in the next 3 months. I just don't know. But I am coming up there shortly.
Yeah. All right, well, next time you're in Boston, I'll be there.
All right, thanks.
Pleasure meeting you, Jimmy.
It's great to meet you, too.
Yeah, you
can. Great to meet you.
All right, that was good talking to you.
I thought that was great.
It worked without a hitch. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
We'll see how that sounds later, but we're just testing this. We've been, me and my wife are making calls to, I'm on the road, Austin, January 17th through 19th, New Hampshire, February 7th, Rhode Island, February 8th. I'm coming out to Seattle, March 7, 8, Tampa, March 21, 22. I'll be back in New Jersey, April 4, 5, out in Los Angeles, May 2nd and 3rd, Washington, D.C., May 16th and 17th. Go to jimnorton.com/tour. A whole bunch of more dates. Come see me. God, am I not good at announcements. Now, back to the show.
I just really appreciate that you had me on.
Yeah, I wanted you on. I knew you'd be a great first guest.
This is great.
But I wanted to kind of
Yeah, with that last call, I really proved that I'm...
Well, he just...
I was right then and there.
Don't worry. I should have set this up, but in fairness, I have not told anybody I'm leaving. I've left SiriusXM. I've not told anybody until I've just said this with you. Nobody knows what's going on.
Wow.
I have not... I literally just put this out on Instagram.
You're
going to
get a lot of fucking people watching this podcast.
Maybe. I mean, I'm going to put an explanation. By the time people are seeing this, there's probably a real explanation as
to what
happened.
Are you going to go on again?
No.
Really?
No, I'm done. I mean, I'm done. Did you hear that?
I like that. That's when you say you're finished with something.
Yeah,
that's the sound
that
plays.
That's the you're fucking. Every yeah. time I come, that's
fucking
what plays
death.
In the house.
I'm finished. Yeah.
It's scary
that's
leaving.
Crazy.
It's scary.
It
when
is
you
scary
leave
leaving.
Something.
But they wouldn't want to have sort of a goodbye show, or you wouldn't want to
do
that.
It. No, and radio is very much like when you're done, you walk in. There's a box of your shit. Security walks you like that. They do it where they want nothing on the air.
Really?
They did this kind
They're
of.
They're just afraid you'll talk shit.
Yeah, and they also
tell the truth about the swastikas.
They were hoping that it would end when it did, like at the break when my contract was up. This way, they figure they have a nice 2 or 3 week break. And they can just kind of come back and I know the drill, but I saw this coming for a long time, and they offered me almost what I knew they would offer me to the dollar. I was crazy how right I was.
Wow, so, interesting.
Yeah,
and
it's okay.
Because I remember, so I think about it all the time. There are a couple things I think about when I think about you. One is talking about if, you know, you don't want to accidentally get somebody pregnant, and Sam was talking about that.
Yeah,
and
boy,
you
life
said,
fixed that.
Yeah. or you could go my route, which I thought was fucking hysterical. And then that you said to me once, you said, I'm just trying to pay off my house. So every single moment that I can, I'm trying to pay off the house. And yep. I was like, okay. And I was like, why? And you said, because I don't know when I'm going to get fired. I could get fired any moment. And I thought to myself, there's no fucking way that's the case. And then I thought about Anthony.
Yeah.
And that was so fucking crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah.
And you, so you said that, but I was like, they would never fire you. And now you're kind of, you didn't get fired.
No.
But what I'm saying is you kind of alluded to, that was years ago. You alluded to the idea of like, you just don't know when these things are going to end. And I thought radio was so much more of a steady gig, but you always have said, you never know, you know?
We got fired in 2002. It changed my life because I saw how fast they can take something from you.
Yeah.
And
down that road.
Yeah, it's like I wanted to make sure. You never want to have to whore yourself for a gig you don't want to do just to pay your rent. So I said, I want to get my mortgage paid off. I'm not paid off, but I think I have 10% left. So I'm like, I'm okay with my mortgage.
You're killing it.
Yeah, I'm not scared financially at all. Yeah. I'm on the road. I took all like a lot of gigs they wanted to give me last year. I booked for this year.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, I kind of backloaded into 2025. I told my agent, they're going to fuck. I know what they're going to do. But again, there's no bitterness. 20 years, they bought me 2 apartments. They changed my life. I had a great career there. I can't be... I'm pissed at how they did it, but overall, like, what am I going to do? Cry about it? I had a 20-year gig.
Yeah, it was great, and you were so fucking great at it.
Oh, thank you.
And you started sort of, you know, coming on Opie and Anthony and then became a fixture and then were part of the show, and then you had your own I mean, what more can you ask for in terms of the trajectory of radio as a comedian?
Yeah.
And then did you miss touring? Did you miss touring and stand-up?
I hated having to be back. Like, I still went out and did gigs, but I hate having to be back. Like, I mean, again, I enjoyed the gig, but I just hated having, it's Sunday, I can't do a show, I got to fly home. I hate having to be anywhere. I fucking hate it. Not having to be back will be nice. But, you know, for this year...
You mean having to be back for the radio.
For the radio show, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And you got to get back at a certain time. It's got to be early enough that you can go to sleep early enough. All that stuff is... And you had to be on the radio every morning very early. So this will be a weird thing where you sleep in
yeah.
during the week. and you can also do, you know, a week of shows, but you're so fucking funny. And thank did you me. Feel like also you were doing stand up? You were like, I don't want this fucking show to be like every other show where comedians interview comedians. I wanted to be the advice. And now I'm just sitting here being like, tell me a little bit more about yourself, Jim. But you.
Well, that's what I do. I just get people to come in who are great talkers and ask me questions.
Yeah.
Because you're a great talker.
It might be nice, too. But you do. Thank you very much for saying that. But I remember there was a period, and I don't know, where you told me, you're like, I'm really just doing sets on Tuesdays. I come, I have my salad at the Comedy Cellar. I do my spots, however many. And then that's kind of it for me for stand up for the week.
No. I was doing it every night but Sunday. I mean, I was doing the hour on Wednesday, and I do two sets a night, except Wednesday I do an hour. So I do stand up every night, but I'm not on the road crazy because I had to be back and I had to get up. But there might have been one point where I was doing that, especially if I was getting hookers before I was married. Yeah. It was nothing. It was nonstop. It was hookers all night. It was just unmanageability crazy.
Wow, that's so exciting.
Yeah. It was, but at the end, I'm like, I got off.
I never really went down that road. I never had like, let's get a hooker and fuck her. And we had two porn stars. I bought a porn star for my buddy after he had this horrible breakup with this terrible woman. And he and I and my other buddy, Zach Friedman, who's a comedy manager now, we're all too big of pussies. We're the guys that are like, let's just talk. You know what I mean? It's so fucking gay.
What they call Captain Save-A-Ho? That's what they used to call him. The guy who was like, you know, I could show you what a real relationship is.
Yeah, what a life. You could have a real life with me.
You don't need this. Fucking guy friend energy.
Yeah, exactly. Guy friend energy. But so you're doing stand-up all the time, and this will just be now you can do an hour pretty consistently, because I assume you're going to start touring consistently.
Oh yeah, I shot something actually. The homeless pimp here, who is really brilliant with the camera. I mean, you see him; he's a quiet.
Oh yeah, nice beard. I've heard of him.
Of course, that's him. He's
you're the homeless pimp.
Yes, it is.
You're amazing.
Thanks, buddy.
I love your work.
Thanks, man.
Of course, you're watching everybody else's shit. You're not a fan of mine. You're just trying to see what other people are doing.
He knows what
actually
he's doing.
a fan.
Is that
comedy.
A Scaparelli? Is that shirt?
It's a Kid Super.
Kid Super. It looks a lot like a Scaparelli. In fact, I think he ripped that off.
Allegedly. I don't know.
For sure. So Homeless Pimp shot it, and where did you shoot the special?
At the Village Underground. We're still
editing. Oh, that's
it.
Really cool.
Yeah.
It's got a real club feel. It's explosive when they're good.
Yeah.
And it's, some people think that's their favorite room at the Comedy Cellar now.
It has kind of become
mine. I like the
mine.
Lounge.
Yeah. I like the lounge. I also love the, is that where I do my Wednesdays, I think, is the lounge. Is that the little?
Yeah.
I love that room.
It's a great room. And it's good for riffing.
Yeah. We have another caller, TJ. Let's take
Let's
more.
Do it.
We haven't given any advice yet. But again, some guys want advice, some guys don't.
At the end of the show, you're going to say, my advice to you, TJ, is give some breath, you know? Give some space for other people.
No, I like it. I love a guy who can talk.
The caller's unmuted now.
Oh, unmuted. Unmuted. What a first show novice asshole I am. You're unmuted. Welcome to show.
Welcome, call.
What's your name, person?
Hello. My name is Andrew Sacramento.
Hi, Andrew.
We'll beep your last name out at the end. What's going on, buddy? You're on with me and TJ Miller.
Hi, I'm TJ Miller from the world of comedy and film and television and voiceover.
And Cloverfield.
Oh, nice. Well, hey, Jim, I wanted some advice basically on how when you first started comedy and you got on stage and you know I've heard a lot of y'all stuff. I'm a lot younger than you guys. I just found out about you guys probably like
hurts. You don't know that.
You sound like my wife. You're 29 years older. I'm like, I know. All right, yeah. So
I'm 29
years older than Nikki.
Yes.
Oh my god, that's great.
Yeah, I know. That's what I say to her when she says that. You're 28 years older. I'm like, I know. It's great.
It's killing it.
Yeah, get in there, kid.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I've heard a lot of your stories of your first time going up and like your first time going on tour and all that stuff. Did you ever have like to do like a first time open mic, like just like 5 minutes? Because I did one out here at the Punch Bowl Social, and I feel like I got a good amount of laughs. However, I never got the courage again to go to the open mic. So how did you handle that?
And I'm going to ask TJ the same question too, because my first time doing stand up was at a wake. I was eulogizing somebody. I was 21, and I just started riffing a little bit and making fun of the person, and the crowd was laughing. I didn't even know him that well. But I wound up doing 15 minutes riffing on the person at a wake, and there was a talent scout in the
this cannot be room. Real. Is it real?
No, it's the whole thing's a lie. I just wanted to have like a
I
great
bought
story.
It. I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
I'm working. You're a great actor. I'm working on my acting.
It worked because the best part of that was I didn't even know the guy that well. That's the funny.
I figured talent scout would give it away.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
No, TJ, I want to ask TJ the same question. Because I'll tell you, the first time I did it was just at an open mic. A guy's named Red Johnny and the Round Guy. It was a competition. They won it. And John DiMaggio does a voiceover. I think he's on Futurama. He's a brilliant voiceover guy. He was part of a comedy team. How about, where was your first time, TJ?
Well, what I want to ask you is, did you have trouble getting up the second time? Because that's sort of, what's your name again, dude?
Jim.
My name is Al.
He's a great talker. Your name's what?
That was a chip joke. I got it.
What's your name, sir?
Andrew.
Oh, it is Andrew.
Andrew, okay. So, Andrew, you're sort of saying you didn't, it was hard for you. You did the open mic, and it's been hard for you to get on stage a second time?
Yeah, even though I felt like I did pretty good. My friend said that I did. You know, it was literally like 5 minutes. In Old Sacramento, and it was, you know, a good crowd of people, maybe like 30, 40 people, I want to say, just kind of like a bar.
Well, that,
it was punchable.
Yeah, that is interesting because I killed my first time. I couldn't believe it, but I had waited till...
I'm sorry.
No. I had waited. It's all good, Andrew. So I had waited until... Memorial Day. I said during the summer I had gone to Chicago. I was taking classes in improv and acting and all this stuff and everything. And then I said, well, you know what? I got to pick a day to do stand up. I can't keep pushing it off. And so I picked that day. Okay. And then I found out, I think it was Memorial Day or Labor Day, whichever it is in the summer. And I found out that the open mic I was going to go to at the Lion's Den, I called and they said, no, it's canceled because the holiday. I go, fuck. This is the day that I look quickly through the Chicago Reader, this newspaper, and I go, oh my God, you know, is there another? I found an open mic at a place called the Cotton Club, and it was on the south side of Chicago, and I didn't really know much about it. I said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go and do it.
Black Club, yeah.
Wait till you hear this. So I get down there, and I had never gone that south in Chicago. It was all the way to 95th and Dan Ryan, and I started walking. I was looking around. I was like, this is pretty dilapidated. This area. And then I found the Cotton Club and it had a red carpet in the front of it. And it was like suddenly a nice club building, whatever. So I walk in, there's no one there. It's just a Mexican bartender and basically nobody else. And I said, I'm here for the open mic. He goes, you're here for the open mic. And I go, yeah, I'm a comedian or improviser. And this will be my first time doing stand up. And he was like, okay. And I was like, is there a list I should like, you know, write your name, my name down? And he's like, yeah, you can do that. And so I wrote my name down and then I went into, I bet there was seven people in there. So I went to the bathroom to rehearse my routine and I was like, this is going to be hilarious. I'll bomb in front of like eight people at this club on the south side. It's going to be amazing. So I was rehearsing my set over and over again. And then I felt like I was ready. I walk out the bathroom door into the showroom. It's packed. There's not any seat empty and I am the only white person. There is not another white person there. I mean, I'm not saying like, I mean, it is 200 black people and me.
It's the plot of every porno I enjoy.
I know. Well, there was a Mexican. They put him behind the bar. You've always wanted me to be in one of those. And I would fuck all those black guys one after another. And so I waited to go up. There was only one other comedian. It was all R&B, hip hop, it was rappers, singers, all that stuff. This comedian goes up. He does not do well. Comes down. His name was D-Man, because when it comes to comedy, I'm D-Man.
D-Man, yeah. Okay.
Got to do it. And then so I went on there, and the MC, Big Shug, was so incredible. He did me the solid that changed my life. But he said, all right, this guy is a personal friend of mine. This is his first time here at the Cotton Club. We got to give him a lot of love. I want to hear you guys really. He gave me this incredible introduction. He brings me up. I go on stage, and before people can really be like, what is this white guy doing here?
Yeah.
I just offhandedly go, hi, thank you guys for coming out to see me tonight. And the explosion of laughter, because there's no way
they came to see
this white fucking idiot who is in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So then the rest of the set, it was 5 minutes or something. It went really fucking well. And even my closer, like, really, really worked, which was about me thinking that I was, you know, had a great sexual experience, and then she ends up being a hooker.
Yeah.
Talking about that, right? About that. and so I was like, this is incredible. I'm the best stand-up comedian in the world. And I'm like, this is easy. And then my that guy, D-Man, said, hey, I want to book you on a show. I was like, oh, my God, I'm already getting booked shows.
We're on a roll.
So I went and did the next show. And I thought, with my confidence, because you're saying that went well, but it didn't give you the confidence to go and do the second, like, open mic, your second time on stage. I went.
Well, I had friends. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that the friends that were with me, because we were just going out for a night to have drinks, and it was a new place, and we didn't know that they did like comedy. They were like, oh, is there any comedians in the crowd or anything like that? My friends have, you know, a bunch of drinks. Just
what a shitty establishment. That's how they book their shows. No, anybody here ever make a friend laugh? Come on.
Will you perform for free?
God, what fucking jizz bag.
Maybe somebody canceled or something. Yeah, I've never been back there, and two, I've had like little conversations with my friend. They're like, oh yeah, you should try it again, you know.
Well, what I would say is if you don't want to do it again, if that happened and you did well and you weren't sort of bit by this almost heroin addict necessity to go back up on stage as soon as possible, I think you should ask yourself if you really want to be a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
If you like doing it for fun, then just get drunk and go there every once in a while and get on stage and try and do it. But I found that because I did well and then got booked on a show, I then went to that show and the soul food buffet was 2 hours too late, and it was on a dance floor at a club, and the only lights that they had were the flashing disco light thing. So it was a disaster, unmitigated, and I wanted to blow my brains out. I felt like a real jizz bag.
Yeah.
And a bag full of jizz.
And not in a good way either.
And a big bag.
Yeah.
You know, like
a Ziploc kind of.
Not
really
a full trash bag. Yeah. I like a good Ziploc fresh bag of jizz. But I immediately was like, I got to go to the next show. So I went to the open mic that Monday, and it went well, but not amazing. And I just wanted to keep getting back on stage. So I think the first question I would ask you is, do you want to be a stand-up comic?
From what you guys said, it's just like, man, like, what the fuck am I actually doing?
That's how I'm feeling right now.
Andrew. No, but do you want to be a stand-up comic,
it sounds
Andrew?
Sounds like a no to me, like you're not sure. It's scary.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I remember my very first stand-up comedy show that I've seen, I had to be like 7 or 8, and it was the
Do you want to be a stand-up comic? We need no more history.
7 or 8.
You do want to.
Being photographed in the dark web. What happened, Andrew?
You have to go and get on stage again. And so you can't, if you're afraid to do that, I mean, what would you say in terms of he's afraid to go, what should he do?
I would say, well, thank you very much, Andrew. I appreciate your phone call. We're going to go to some more calls. Thank you so much. I would say go back up, give yourself 10 shots at it, tape every one, and just see how it goes.
But what I tell people, and I think this is fucking real. Yeah. Some people go, well, what do you think about, going on stage and what? And I tell people, well, then do it. And I go, when's the next open mic? And they're like, well, there's one on Monday. I go, go, do it on Monday. And they're like, well, yeah, I might. I say, no, do it. Yeah. Look at me and tell me you're going to do it. And they go, well, I mean, I have other things. I don't give a fuck. There is nothing that should stop you from going up. If there's an open mic tomorrow, okay, you should go and do it. Don't think, oh, yes. I don't know. You just go and you do it.
And we're talking to Rich Voss because tomorrow is New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? You can wait till next week. But
let
go
me
on
tell
Monday.
You, pal.
Go on whenever the next Monday is or whenever the next fucking thing is, and you just have to do it. And then listen to Jim because he's telling you how you can be sure if after 10 times it feels like that's possible. But Andrew, I love you and I can't wait to hear about this 7-year-old stand-up story.
I would love, and let's go to another caller. But I like how he found out. So how did you become a dancer? Well, I was in a Fuddruckers and they said, does anybody hear Pop Lock? And I just got up and there was an agent to the
how
crowd.
How did you become a dancer? Hello? Is great.
Yes. Hi, what's your name? We're not able to screen them as of yet. What's your name, fella?
Hello? Devin.
Hi, Devin. Thanks for
Devin,
the call. You're
on
with Jim and TJ.
TJ Miller. And I got to say, I love the audio from Devin, whatever you're calling from.
Yeah.
That's a nice
welcome
fella.
Aboard, Devin. Thanks for the ear coming.
No problem. Hope you enjoy it. Well, my question is, I don't know how you guys would handle it or if you guys even partake in this, but I'm on a NoFap and it's about 10 days now and I feel like a new man and...
Oh, NoFap. That's when you don't jack off.
Oh, no jacking off.
NoFap. Yeah.
They call it fap because that's the set.
Oh,
that's so interesting. I read about this recently, and I did. So you feel great, you said.
I do.
Okay.
Bunch of energy.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't believe any of that.
There are some downsides, though.
Oh, I bet you don't get to come.
Yeah, that is a big
downside. The main one.
That'd be number one through five.
Yeah, that's one through five. Six is you don't get to look at gangbangs. Or if you do, it's expensive. Yeah. So I think that's really interesting because what I did on the road, I do a fair amount of fapping, sometimes a lot
sure,
of fapping.
That's why I love the road.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And you can just see things that you just can't do. Kate one time, guess my wife, Kate, she one time said, she's like, you know, if you're jacking off, if you're masturbating so much, like how that's obviously going to hurt your sexual experiences. Are you in a relationship right now?
No, I am not.
Okay. Well, no. I did stop. I did stop fapping. I just like jack off. I did stop like jacking off and masturbating for like, I'd say 5 days, not too recently, but a little while ago. And I noticed that I did this thing that I hadn't been doing because I jack off so much on the road is I started looking at waitresses at the comedy clubs like, wow,
yeah,
I would fucking get into that. And I've never cheated on my wife. That's not something I would do because if you see a picture of her, what's the fucking point? But I know what you're saying because it does something for you, I think. And so I've not done it for 10 fucking days. I'm not queer. Jesus Christ.
Can I tell you that not jacking off when I was during the pandemic, when I was in Montreal with Nikki.
Yeah.
I went 15 months without jacking off.
What?
Honest to God. I didn't. I looked at porn and stuff, but I didn't jack off because we lived together in a one bedroom and I just didn't. And once you get over like the certain hump of doing it, it's not as hard to not do it anymore.
It's like carbohydrates.
In a way, yes. You're just used to life sucking.
Jacking off to porn and coming is like sugar. Once you haven't had carbohydrates or sugar, you don't come anymore.
Well, I did. The only way I would come is honestly would be like, it was healthy. The only way I would come was with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or by rubbing against a person's pet. Like if somebody had, if someone's small dog leapt into my lap.
Frauderism. It's called frauderism. Just rub up against people on the subway and just.
Is it frottage? Or frotter. Maybe it's two words for the same thing. Can I engage in frottage? Yeah. Thank you very much for the call.
Hey,
man.
Wait,
keep
but so
oh, yes.
You're feeling good about
wait,
it.
Oh, hold on. I got to tell you the bad part.
Yeah.
Oh, what is the bad part?
This isn't my first NoFap, however. The longest I've been was 54 days. But Jesus. After around my seventh day, I start to have wet dreams constantly.
And that's amazing. I haven't had one of those in forever. Well, how is that a downside?
54.
You don't have any nostalgia? Man. Good guy.
Who are you, fucking DiMaggio? 54 and the streak ran out. I couldn't do it. I'll never make Ty Cobb's fucking.
So the.
I wish I had a hole in my bed.
So the. So I think that's still a form of fapping. So you have wet dreams. What else is a drawback?
Yeah, that's a great gift.
No freaking 4 hours of sleep at most a night. I can't get blown on by a female. If she looks at me, I get hard and want a nut.
That's nice. That's healthy.
These are all good things.
They're healthy things.
Well, did you used to jack off before you went to sleep?
Yes.
Like, did jacking off help you?
Sorry.
Yes, of course.
So for a long time, you were every night jacking off right before you went to sleep.
Yeah, I used to think I have a problem, but
maybe you had a problem.
Apparently, everyone doesn't. So
I think. Well, here's the thing. I think that you have an association. Physical and psychological between coming and then going to sleep.
Yeah.
And so I think the thing to do, Jim is like, yeah.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right.
The thing to do is you got to focus. If you don't want to jack off and you don't have a fucking problem, I had 4 or 5 in a row when I was in fucking wherever the fuck I was just recently. And it's like, yeah, it feels depraved. But I think if you feel better without it, then my advice to you regarding sleep, which sounds like the only thing that's really a drawback, and I would start to try and associate other stuff with sleep. So melatonin,
gotcha.
Heroin,
yeah.
Any kind of alcohol, yeah, excessive alcohol use, binge drinking is how I do it.
And but
really, like, do some melatonin, like, see if you can do that.
Try a nice 5 milligram, TJ. 10 makes me too tuckered.
Does that mix well with rum?
Nice 5 milligrams.
I'd be careful about that. Yes. But I think it doesn't kill you to have a drink or whatever. But I guess I'm joking there. What I really would say advice wise is, you know, start associating better sleep hygiene. So there's this red light that you can buy that my wife and I find is very effective. Sure. Put on pajamas. Don't look at screens for an hour beforehand, maybe 2 hours in the beginning. Start associating those things with going to sleep. Because your bed used to be for jacking off. It's supposed to be for sex and sleeping and nothing else. You shouldn't be reading in bed. No, you shouldn't be doing any of that stuff. So try that. And then I really think you're going to be able to get more than 4 hours of sleep.
Thank you very much.
Like you, man.
I think you're right. Thank you very much for the call. We have more people. Appreciate it. And who's next? You're on with the great TJ Miller and myself.
The caller's on mute.
Holy shit. Is this me?
Yes, it is you, sir.
It's you.
How are you?
Hey. Jimmy, it's Chris the teacher. How are you, pal?
Oh, hey, Chris. What's going on? A regular caller to the Jim and Sam.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He's actually been to this home.
Really?
For a 4th of July party that you came to.
Yeah?
My wife came.
We were at the same party. It's me, TJ Miller, from Cloverfield. It's the one that Jim really likes.
That's when we met.
It's nice to talk to you and hear what's going on with you. I always wanted to call in. I never was able to. I wanted to call into your show and say, long-time caller, first-time listener.
Long time, first time.
To me, that's the funniest thing.
That's how you know you don't listen to much. It's going to be long time, first time. First time, long time. First
no,
time,
but
long.
I think the funny joke is I've been calling for years, but I've never listened. Long time caller, first time listener.
I didn't even catch that.
To me, it's the funniest joke you can do in radio. And I think I called a couple of times, but I never got through. But anyway, Chris, the teacher, what can we do for you?
What a non-improving fucking rank amateur I am. I didn't even hear what you said. I'm like, well,
you don't listen.
Long time, no.
That's the thing. You don't listen. You got to listen to act.
No wonder Sirius didn't want me. Hey, what's up, Chris? What's going on? He doesn't listen. Fuck him. Get rid of him. We're overpaying this shit. Hi, Chris. What's going on?
Hi. So my wife, Jimmy, who you know a little bit about.
Yes.
Did
you say that or did I just think it?
Yeah, exactly. You've seen her tits, too. I showed her on a live stream.
Thank you very much. That's great. Very lovely.
What fun.
I dropped 60 pounds on Wegovy, one of those medicines.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she makes me feel like shit for doing it. And she's fat and she won't go on it.
Wow, do you tell her that? I mean, I like how you phrase things. You know?
Yeah, you got a certain subtlety to you.
Yeah.
She's this fucking fat bitch, and she's making me feel bad.
Yeah, hey, you tub of shit, drop a few. Yeah.
Listen, cow, get on the drugs.
Well, here's the thing.
She's overweight. She's overweight. She says that I didn't earn it. I didn't do it the right way. She wants to make real changes. But she's been saying this for three years. And I'm still fucking a porker.
Is she actively doing that? Like making changes?
She's trying, but she has a compulsion. She eats a lot. I see it.
I get it.
I think that is the compulsion. Yeah. Usually when people are fat, they have a compulsion.
One ever sees a big fatso and goes, oh my God, you can't stop juggling.
Yeah, yes. And I'm a juggler.
Yeah, cakes. You're juggling cakes.
Cakes and kiwis and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I think you got to kind of say to her, look, what works for a person is what works for them. And it's who are you to kind of criticize my success? I have this incredible change in my life. Why are you trying to knock me down a peg? If you think that I cheated, then okay. I can deal with that. And so I hope you can. And I think this is a really sneaky way to do it. So I think another thing that you can do is go, well, look, I really admire you and I wish I had your resolve. I wish I could drop the weight like you're dropping it every single day. But I'm a weak man.
Yeah.
And that weakness has led me to drugs. Drugs and alcohol. I don't know if you drink, but you should start if you don't.
Yeah.
Drugs and alcohol sound so much better. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
He's a
compulsive gambler?
Yeah.
Okay. So of course you went on the drug. You got to run as quickly as you can to the fucking
grand 2024.
You should be so happy. And I think tell her all that shit. Turn it around on her. Say, I don't have the resolve that you have. I am a weak man. I have a lot of weaknesses.
Yes.
And I'm trying to come to terms with those. And if you can't be happy for me, then just keep reminding me of my weakness. And hopefully that'll make me change and get off these drugs and do it the right way. But I really believe, like, you do it how you can do it. Like, I fast a lot and I can cut a lot of weight. But I drink a lot of alcohol and that's just empty calories. So it's like, you know, I think that's what I would do. I'd turn it around on her because honestly, fuck her.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Chris.
You can play this for him.
We got to wrap up because we have a couple more callers to get to, and TJ has limited time today because he has to travel. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
I appreciate your support, buddy. Thank you so much. And yeah, you're right. I mean, that's kind of shitty of her to say, hey, look, you're weak. If you're not going to have a heart attack because you fucking lost some weight, it's a good thing. And by the way, you want to point out, like TJ said, yeah, I'm obviously you're stronger than me. And then say, I don't even have the courage to go out and find someone who isn't a fat fuck. we have another caller.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
caller, you're on the air.
That's really funny.
I'm going to throw. I actually just pointed like I'm Eric Bogosian in talk radio. I am. I put the H
Eric
in hack.
Eric Bogosian
walking
is a
around.
Great reference.
Yeah, that's great. And you're dead, fucker. I love that guy at the end.
Oh my God.
I pray to see him for 20 years after every show. Yes. Hello. What's your name?
Melissa.
Hey, Melissa, I was just making a joke how all the callers are going to be men, and then here you are, and I can tell by your voice that you're a lovely person.
You're the first woman to call this new podcast. Thank you very much.
You're numero uno. You're the first.
What's going on? What do you need, babe?
I'm not surprised. well, the main thing is I don't like people, and you guys are so good with talking to people, and you obviously know how annoying people are and how stupid they can be. You're so good at making jokes about it.
Thank you.
How do you get past that when you deal with them?
How do you feel about people? Are you just saying, like, I hate everybody, I can't stand them, or they're mean, or they're... Like, what is it that makes you not like interacting with people?
I feel like I know everything about them within a minute of talking to them, and it makes me immediately start not liking them and picking them apart.
Because they're narcissistic and they talk about themselves, or is it because you can read people very well?
Yeah, I think I can read them too well. I almost know what kind of lies they're telling right away, everything like that. I just feel like people usually aren't the best when you get down to it. And since I could figure it out so quick, I have a hard time getting past that.
Well, she's a misanthrope.
Isn't there something, a term for this, TJ?
It's a misanthrope. And so you're a misanthrope. Now, I'm going to tell you this.
Fucking
because
Mr.
It's really interesting. The last place I went, which I think was... where did I get back from? I was in Atlanta at some point. Let's just pretend I know where the last city I was. And I was talking to people. It's amazing. I really don't. I was talking to people and it was Erie, Pennsylvania. So I was talking to people there. It's a great city.
Yeah.
You know what is great about it? That fucking club is called Keller's Modern Magic and Comedy Club, and they have magicians who are amazing. I love magic.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
I love magic. I'm a member of the magician member of the magic castle.
I do too. I mean,
is this why you hate people? Because they just start talking about themselves. I would hate me right now.
I prefer that.
So yeah, you're a misanthrope. And what I said to somebody in Erie was, they were like, how do you know so much about people when you just look at them? Like, I got this guy, he yawned, and I just looked at him. This was somewhere else. And I go, it's been a long day, hasn't it been? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, probably longest day of the week for you. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, but your job's not great. And I mean, and it's great, but they overwork you. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, you thought about not even coming tonight. And he suddenly was like, yeah, I did. And you're like, but you know, it's TJ Miller. How often is it? So you pulled yourself together and you're here. He goes, yeah. I go, and you're not drinking, right? I mean, you do drink alcohol, but tonight you're not drinking. He goes, yeah. And I said, well, what are you drinking? Is that a Coke or Diet Coke? And he's Diet Coke. I'm like, yeah, you need the caffeine. That's what you're going to do. If you're going to drink, you can drink after the show at home. He's like, yeah, that's what I thought I was going to do. I like blew his mind because I knew everything about him just because of him yawning once. I know also, I meet people after shows. I can tell about couples almost immediately because I've seen thousands of them. And what I try and do is whenever, and I get a lot of assholes, whenever I interact with somebody where I'm like, I would not have half of a beer with you. I cannot stand every moment that we're here. I immediately remind myself, this guy's doing his best.
Yeah.
That really, really helps me to just say they're doing, if they're trying to brag or what, they're doing their best. They're just, they want you to think they're cool. And that helps me forgive people a lot more. And I think that's what you need to work on. It's just like, be a little, I'm not being mean to you, but like, be a little bit more forgiving. Because everybody, this is a horrible thing, life. It's terrible. We constantly try and make ourselves believe that this is some sort of beautiful gift. It's incredibly hard.
It's very taxing.
It's horrible. And everybody's trying to do their best. And so I think if you can do that a little bit more, you're going to kind of say, I don't really like this person that much. But they're doing their best. So maybe I'll try and find something about them I do like. You know, give him one shot.
Thank you for the call, sir. I'm seeing if I'm getting it.
What do you think? It's a girl also. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Do you understand? Because
Jim gets confused with these things.
What?
I said Jim gets confused with gender things.
She got you on that one.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Actually, I love you, miss. You're my favorite person of the show.
Actually, Melissa, the lie is I would pretend to be confused, but I always knew. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I didn't notice when it hit me in the chin.
God, I like that.
Thank you for the call. I had a similar experience too. A guy yawned and I was like, so I'm like, I think I said to him, are you drinking? I didn't ask him about work. I said, are you drinking? And he goes, no, you're boring. And I was like, oh.
Great, here we go.
Just made that up. All right, we have time for one more call. I know TJ
everything
has,
is a lie about you except your sexuality.
That's 100%, right? Yeah, you know, it's right down the middle, as they say.
Everything right down the middle.
Do we have one more?
I wish Kate was
here. I could literally talk to you all day, but I know you have to go.
No, I think we're okay.
Always on air here.
Okay. Hello, what's your name, fella?
My name is Tommy McGee. I have a kind of a unique problem.
Hi, Tommy.
I think your last call kind of like about being cool, fully encompassed, you know. My whole life, I've been like unnoticed. That's been my problem. I've hung out with celebrities. I hang out in cool places. I've met Kumi hundreds of times, Colin Quinn, all of them. Yet when I try to flex or brag about it, nobody remembers me. I'm not in any of my family photo albums.
I've had
a threesome. The two girls didn't notice I was there. I was in a police raid where everyone was hauled out of there. I was left at the kitchen table just sitting there.
How many of these did you write before?
Yes. Sir, I'm not exactly sure where you're going. I will say this, though. I like the fact that you did put some effort into this one. I'm going to say that. I'm going to take my hat off to you and say thank you for calling.
Jim, I'm being legitimate. I mean, I've been married. The wife that just didn't show up. It's like I have a life that's unexamined.
How many more of these do you have on the paper? And are they all Catskill style?
I one time got on a plane and there was no pilot. One time.
There was no one on there. They didn't even notice I was going. Yeah, I love
one Jew walked into a bar. Yeah, it was me. Yeah. I couldn't find a friend.
I tried to get in a canoe. They said, Kahoo? They didn't even know my name.
Fuck yeah.
Wouldn't let me on the pontoon boat because they said it was too pontoon boat.
All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you, sir. I mean, you sound like a delightful, upbeat,
don't do
guy.
Don't do
you know,
too many of these jokes with other people.
Like you're not even in life. I mean, I bet you guys won't even remember me by tomorrow.
I literally forgot you were there until you just spoke
about
again.
Me.
No, but here's the thing.
Hello? Hello?
I understand what you're talking about. I got what you're talking about. He was a fun guy. He did like a little thing. But
oh
there
God.
Are times we all feel a little unnoticed in life.
Oh God.
What I tend to do is I stand up and I just scream a racial epithet. And that gets everyone to look at me. Or
epithet is great.
Yeah, racial epithet on the plane. Put on a Burger King hat. All right. One more guy to close out the show. Yeah.
That was so weird.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be plenty of crackpots.
He Hello. Was trying. How could we help?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, cool. Hey, when I first met my wife, I had terrible jock itch, and I didn't know what jock itch was. And I had her go down me, and she was disgusted. Now she'll never do it again.
That's actually the reverse of what happened when I met my wife. I was like, honey, what do you keep scratching for? She's like, yeah, my balls.
Yeah. You're like, you have jock itch? I'll be right down.
Oh, wait, so did your bag stink? Is that what happened?
It was between my bag and my leg. It was like a huge rash, and it smelled like poop.
Oh,
yeah, that's such a bummer. I'm sorry to hear that, man.
She's got to get over it, though. Like, everyone's gotten a bad
She's
got to
get over it. She sees your dick now, right?
Yeah, it's juicy.
She won't even go to see it. It's not even an opportunity now.
She won't even go to
really?
See it. Like, it's her grandmother. Yeah. She won't even talk to it, even though it's on its way
out. His dick is like, you never call, you never come over.
Yeah, can you give me a kiss? Smell.
I think Jim's right. She's got to get over it, man.
Over
I mean,
it.
This is a fucking, this is a, I mean, do you go down on her?
If I could, she's against the whole idea. I ruined the entire idea of going
that's
down.
That's insane.
It's crazy.
That's absolutely insane. That's insane. And you probably need to go to therapy because of that.
Yeah.
You got it. If she's, you know what it is? If she's not letting you go, a couples therapy, I'm serious. If she's not letting you go down on her, then that means she's embarrassed about her own vagina. And I think she's using this, that experience to say, I don't want to go down on you. And I think you got to kind of have an honest conversation with her and say, I'm not giving an ultimatum, but, you know, this is really a non-starter for me because I don't think I can go through the rest of my life not only not receiving oral sex, but also not giving it because I want to give you that level of pleasure and I want you to do it for me too. But this is a really big thing in the relationship. You know, I think it's really important. And I've sort of had to have that conversation with my wife because she's not, you know, I won't get into details, but it's like, I love going down on her. I think going down on a woman is the best thing in the world.
Yes.
Because you can get you can get them to ejaculate.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter. You know, then it's open season for what you want to do. So I think start by saying, I want to go down on you. Don't even talk about getting a blowjob.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it at all. We haven't even opened the conversation.
So, you have to open the conversation and start with saying, I want to go down on you. Don't even fucking mention the blowjob.
And try to avoid mentioning your fucking Elephant Man scaly balls. That's a bad first impression. We've all made one. You had bad balls, and one time she got a hold of it, and it grossed her out. How many years ago did this happen, sir?
This was like over a decade, probably like 13 years ago.
Forget it. Just get hookers or
divorce.
Jerk off.
Get a divorce. That's the end of our advice show.
This is a wrap.
Yeah, no, that's 13 years. Divorce immediately. Get a lawyer. Figure out how to, you know, protect your money. Try and get the house. Keep the fucking car. And just that's it, man. I mean, if it's been a decade, you can tell her. We can talk about this, but just say I have engaged with a divorce lawyer.
Yeah, and she's just, you know, she has a good point too. Like the first time I met him, his ball smelled like a foot. I understand her point too. Not wanting to go into your rotten bag. Thank you for the call, buddy.
Thanks, man. I think that's great that at the end, this is the last call of this first episode of Jim Norton Can't Help You.
Jim Norton Can't Save You.
Jim Norton Can't Save You. And I'm TJ Miller, and I'm glad that the end of this piece of advice was get a divorce.
Yes. I love you for coming on. I appreciate it. I know today you got a crazy
amount of
schedule.
Not getting blowjobs.
I appreciate everyone calling in. It was a lot
of
fun.
Oh, it was so great. Thank you, Jim. You fucking crack me up, man.
It's very mutual. And
thanks for making the announcement for the first time about, you know, this inevitable
Oh yeah,
train
the
wreck
departure.
Of the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It really is. There's a rope and a stool and a note.
It's
coming
a catastrophe.
Soon.
Yeah.
I bought a nice pen.
Are you going to have Nikki kick the stool?
I wouldn't have to ask her. She's just so fucking clumsy. She tried to rescue me and trip on it. All right, we'll be back next week. TJ, I love you, man. Thank you, buddy.
Thank
so
you
much.
So much, Jim.
Talk
hilarious.
To you guys again.
Homeless Matt.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.